Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Live from the Prozac Indoor Go-Karting and Spoon Play Area Arena, we present A Wheezing Groaning Sound, which we believe to be the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. My name is John Rain, and I'm joined here on Terra Alpha by Killjoy Tom Neenan and Kill Bill Paul Litchfield. So get in the Susan Q and Joseph C. Just what the giddy fuck is going on? As we reveal who can take a story,
yay!
Sprinkle it with poo, cover it with red stuff and a dodgy set or two. The Candyman, oh, the Candyman can. The Candyman can, because he dresses up like shit and makes the world taste bad. Yes! It's the Happiness Patrol.
Oh my god.
Oh. Has there ever been a story of Doctor Who that there isn't a piece of chewing gum wrapper small enough to get the plot on?
No. No, there hasn't.
Because this is like, this is a basic idea I had when I went mad one day.
Yeah, it's very
does it go anywhere? No. Oh, it is so sixth form drama, isn't it?
But before we dig in, if you weren't watching The Happiness Patrol, well done. Yeah. But Paul, the Oracle, what was on BBC 1 and 2 that day?
Well, let me tell you, Jonathan, The Happiness Patrol popped onto our screens, vomited onto our screens on Wednesday the 2nd of November 1988. Yeah. Yep, and it was on at 7:35 in the morning. No. Imagine. So if you're watching, this is quite fun because this is a very Doctor Who themed day of television. Three doctors pop up on today's television.
It's exciting.
Guide. Yeah, three different doctors. See if you can spot them. Well, you will, because I'll go, look, it's Thingy. Anyway, so it started off with Breakfast Time, of course. Breakfast Time with John Stapleton and Jeremy Paxman.
No, oh, hello.
I don't remember Paxman doing breakfast telly.
I do.
Can you? You can't add to him in the morning doing.
Come on, eat your eggs. Eat your eggs. Come on.
Imagine. Can you imagine? You got Mad Lizzie and him going, did you threaten to overrule them, Mad Lizzie? It's just unbelievable. So you have Breakfast Time, yeah. And it's, oh, and of course you have, it says Breakfast Time with John Stapleton, Jeremy Paxman, International News with Jill Dando.
Oh.
And Sports with Rob Bonnet.
Hello.
Beautiful name. And then at 10:55 you had 5 to 11. 5 minutes with Patricia Routledge. That's all it says.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Is it just her on the toilet or something? Why are you here? Anyway, a little bit later on, everyone's favourite when we were young, and in the afternoon, so at lunchtime, people used to pop home from school when I was growing up to watch Neighbours. Neighbours was on, and this is brilliant. Neighbours, 1:30, it says this: the Robinson family upset everybody.
Oh, no.
They did that.
They did that. They did that. And at 3 p.m, brand new quiz: I've Got a Secret with Tom O'Connor.
Hey!
Sandra Dickinson, Joe Brown and Barry Cryer try and guess each other's secrets. God. Oh my God, God, no.
Imagine that, imagine that now.
Imagine that now. It's immediately linked into Crime Watch.
Yeah.
That's where Dickinson put the bodies. There you go. And at 3:50, Children's BBC 2x2 started. I don't know what that means. Children's BBC 2x2.
I do. It was Jenny Powell, I think.
You're absolutely right. The write-up says this. Birds peck at fruit. Cows nibble on grass. Jenny Powell eats anything and everything.
If rumours are to be believed.
And then following that was Super Ted, starring John Pertwee.
Yay.
Oh, I loved Super Ted.
They
I
threw him away Ted. Like a piece of rubbish.
And then he came and sprinkled on his magic dust. Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that somebody pointed out that that opening has both a space technology and also magic technology. Mm. So, like, Mother Nature and also a spaceman. There's no sort of consistency in that at all.
No.
Brilliant, brilliant. After Super Ted, just 10 minutes later, was What's Your Story? Mm-hmm. And it says this. Is this program showing you the story you want to watch? I don't know, is it? And then it says, Sylvester McCoy finds out.
Hooray!
So you have Pertwee into McCoy. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Are they talking about the Happiness Patrol?
Well, yeah, actually, you're absolutely right. Is this program showing you the story you want to watch?
No.
You're absolutely right, John. No, it fucking isn't. Anyway, just after that was Heartbeat. And now we talked about Heartbeat once before. It was something rather disgusting that it looked like Tony was doing.
He had Morph was hiding under his junk.
That's right. Well, in this episode of Heartbeat, they posit this question. What is Tony up to with that floor polisher?
Oh, no.
I don't know, but she got sacked after.
I like to think he was smelling it just before going on air. He's high as a kite.
Oh, yeah. Morph was never actually animated. That's just what he imagined.
I thought that'd be in The Simpsons where Homer inhales all those cleaners. Yeah.
I must break you. Ay, ay, ay. So that was Heartbeat. And then later on, 7:35, Doctor Who, The Happiness Patrol, Part 1, no blurb. And it was afterwards was Rockcliffe's Folly.
Oh, nice. The sequel to Rockcliffe's Babies.
Rockcliffe's Babies. And it says this is horrible. Rockcliffe runs over a distraught woman. She's already distraught. And then he runs over her.
Shut up.
Give you something to be distraught over. I don't understand. Anyway, BBC Two was daytime on two. Factual entertainment for kids from 9 a.m. to 1:30, including Science Workshop. Can insects see colours?
Oh.
Don't know. You and me, Cosmo decides whether to go swimming or buy some jewellery.
Cosmo.
Cosmo and Dibs.
Cosmo and Dibs. Cosmo.
Fucking hated the pair of them, I remember.
There's a great video on YouTube, everybody, if you go and look for it. It's outtakes from Cosmo and Dibs.
Oh.
And it's Gary Wilmot, and I can't remember who the other woman is in it, but they just keep fluffing their lines and getting more angry with each other. It's really funny.
But there you go. So Cosmo decides whether to go swimming or buy some jewellery. What sort of dichotomy is that?
The swimming pool next to the jewellery shop, Paul.
Yeah, but there's such a... Do I go and play basketball or do I go and invade Poland? I don't know. Just really strange. And then afterwards was Civil Rights with Ole Hansen. Amazing name. And there was a programme called The Build. Exploring the stages when building a Scottish house.
Oh, hello. It sounds like Grand Designs, but sort of a precursor to Grand Designs.
Well, this week we're not looking at a normal house. We're looking at a Scottish house!
Or is it a house they can't say because it's bad luck?
Oh, it's Macbeth's house, possibly, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and at 2:15 in the afternoon, Championship Bowls with David Icke.
Oh
my God!
Yeah! So let's have a look. 1988. This has got to be around the time, isn't it, that he started to... Of the Wogan interview and the wearing of the aquamarine shell suits and the Wonderful Thoughts. I wonder if they start creeping into the commentary, like in the middle of his commentary. It's a wonderful there, Jack kissing the other ball. The Jews run the world. And imagine, like, what? Sorry, what, David? What?
As Jasper Carrot said about him, the father, the son, and the goalie host.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Nice. And then at 9 p.m, you had a programme called Blind Justice. And it says this, medieval law drama, which is already amazing.
Yeah.
Medieval law drama.
I'm hearing that in Adam Buxton's Cilla Black, the Queen impression.
Yes, yes.
Blunder justice. Let's have a Laura justice.
This is the blurb for it. It's insane. Catherine defends a priest who confesses to murdering children in circumstances of extreme public revulsion. I'm sorry, what? I'm so what?
Excuse me.
So that's what happened on BBC One and BBC Two.
Fun stuff.
Wow. Well, talking of fun stuff, we begin.
Let's end this program now.
Yeah.
We begin on a dark set. A woman is. It looks. It reminds me of the woman who gets hassled by King Arthur in Holy Grail. They keep saying knee to her.
Yes.
She's gone for a walk.
I thought it was Julie McKenzie for a second. Miss Marple, but it isn't.
No. And she goes for a walk, and a man appears from the shadows and asks her if she wants to talk about it. She doesn't, because she doesn't care anymore. And he says, you have to be careful, the happiness patrol goes. She says, let them get me, I don't care.
Yeah.
And then he says, I know of a secret place for killjoys where they can share their depressions. Yeah, it's called Twitter, am I right?
Hey!
He tells her it changed his life, and then he gives her his card, Silas P. And then he says, turn it over. And then she turns over and he goes, I'm undercover in the happiness patrol. And he blows his whistle.
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to be really depressed now. And I thought, yeah, we all are.
This is really strange, John. Your first note that you read out was about Monty Python. And the very first note that I've written about this entire storyline is this. All the way through these three episodes, I feel a bit like Graham Chapman's character, the Sergeant Major in Monty Python, who keeps appearing going, stop that, it's silly.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt watching the whole thing, that someone should just turn up and go, no, no, that's, no, come on, that's absolute rubbish. Stupid, move along, please.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because you mentioned in our last episode last week that should have been an episode that they just talked about.
Yes.
The Doctor and
this
Ace,
one they should never have talked about.
Well, even worse than that, the Doctor and Ace arrive in the TARDIS with the materialisation to cheer up Paul. They come out, and he starts talking about dinosaurs.
And then
he goes, oh, you know what? And he's basically alluding to the Invasion of the Dinosaurs episode.
Yeah.
And then he goes, you know what? We should go and look at dinosaurs. She goes, what, really? And he's like, yeah. And I thought, please do.
Please look at dinosaurs. The only thing I like about the very first bit of this, I quite like the incidental music they use.
Oh, yeah.
It's like sort of 1980s Berlin nightclub, Eastern Bloc sax. And I don't mind all the outside street set work. I think it looks quite nice.
Yeah.
Instead of using lampposts, they have chandeliers and stuff. It's just really mad.
I struggle to believe that this was ever a place where people sort of lived and existed.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of looks like, was it The Ozone or like one of those sort of 90s kids shows where they would sort of all hang out in these sort of industrial kind of sets? Oh, it looks a bit like a Laser Quest kind of thing. I was just like, I don't believe that people live here, basically. It was quite confusing.
Okay. I kind of, that was the only thing that saved it for me. Was the streets look so mad and stupid. Because, to be honest, you may have called the amount of thought into the plot idea of this, you could have just called it the Cheese Patrol, and everyone's dressed as mice, apart from the evil cat people.
Yeah.
And you could just replace all the words with mice, cheeses, and that. And then it would be exactly the same thing. It is that ill-conceived and ill-thought of. A world where you have to pretend to be happy all the time. Why? Because you do.
Yeah.
Are you gonna say anything else about this society? No, no, no. No, that's it.
No.
That's it. That is it.
It might as well be the Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
But they review it, basically, because they get out and then they talk about dinosaurs, which they're not going to go and look at. And he says to her, do you like it here? She says, no. And he says, no, I don't either. Turn around and go back in the TARDIS then and go somewhere fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one's forcing you to be here.
It's like even the writer's going, I don't like what I'm writing.
He says, I've been hearing disturbing rumours of evil going on.
Ooh.
And then we meet Helen A, played by Sheila Hancock.
Yep.
Yeah.
In a real, I mean, God's sakes, the costumes in this. What is she wearing?
She's wearing a bit of Colin Baker's back, it looks like. from his outfit.
Yeah.
But she's giving Silas P a sort of promotion. She's giving him a badge to wear.
Yes.
Yes.
And congratulating him on his great work on finding miserable people.
Mm-hmm.
He should go to bloody Walford, shouldn't he? He'd get a bloody pay rise. You can round them all up in a big net and get yourself. Madam, what year is this?
What year is this?
This smart sweet is the Candyman. That'd be Christmas, Ange.
So then after that, the Doctor and Ace are wandering around and they bump into Trevor Sigma.
Oh, yes.
He's taking a census, but he won't reveal that yet. He says it's all confidential.
This is an example that always happens in Doctor Who, which is an actor, because this is the same actor who was the president in Caves of Androzani.
Yeah.
And like Caves of Androzani is sort of universally known as like probably the best or one of the best classic stories. And it's always a shame when they've done that. They've been in Doctor Who. It's an amazing story. And then the actor appears again in a bad one. Mm. And you're like, oh, it's a bit like when in Megalos, when we get Jacqueline Hill back for like a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, why don't you just get out?
One. Yeah. Don't tarnish your reputation.
Yeah. You got out with like dignity. Why are you coming back?
There is no dignity in any of this, is there?
No, there really isn't.
But talking of dignity, the Happiness Patrol arrive in a really horrible looking go-kart thing.
Oh yeah. it's
like a Baywatch dune buggy, isn't it?
And they're all obviously been costumed by a really old pervert.
Yeah.
Because they've got the stupid hair, but they've also got really short skirts and pink high heels.
Yes, they do. Don't they?
And they've got pretend toy phallic guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're just, be happy or else, but they never really seem to do anything.
And they
What costume have you got for the Happiness Patrol? Oh, no, I forgot. I've got 8 oversized beige jackets. is that anything? Not really, but I have to do.
God.
I've got a PVC thong. That's the one. That's the one.
So they see the TARDIS and they decide to paint it pink.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I did. The Doctor did as well. He came out and he said, oh, it's nice.
Yeah, he likes it, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. And he says they have to put a stop to what's going on, and the way to do that is to get arrested.
Yeah.
And then they get interrogated by the Happiness Patrol, who ask them why haven't they got badges if they're visitors.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's like, I've got badges. The Doctor says, yeah, I've got badges, look.
But when she says that, the Doctor goes, oh, God.
Yeah, because he wants to be arrested for non-badge compliance, doesn't
he? Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets arrested.
Yeah.
And she's told she's going to become one of the Happiness Patrol.
Yes.
Yeah, why? I don't know why that's a thing. Okay, fine.
And then we cut to Ronald Fraser as Joseph C.
Yeah.
He's watching a video of someone being executed.
Fun. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is very good.
Mm.
She comes in and goes, what are you watching that for? And he goes, I don't know.
It's very much like Dennis Thatcher and Mrs. Thatcher, isn't it?
That is what they're going. Well, that's what Sheila Hancock's going for early on and then abandons it.
Abandons the idea of it.
She's even, and also, even for does some the reason, voice early on as well.
For some reason, their house, their flat, all their wallpaper is punctuation marks for some reason.
It is. Yeah. It's so weird.
It's like commas and semicolons everywhere. It's
nothing
like,
is designed
on?
To look anything other than a set, is it?
No.
It's meant to look like a set.
It's like this entire world has been ruled by Crinkly Bottom and ITVB. Yeah. So that's what goes on permanently.
Yeah.
And you never find out why. You get a little bit of, why did you do it? Because that's how I think it should be. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. That's fine then.
But the video of the execution he's watching is a woman from the beginning.
Yes.
So she's being executed. And then Helen does a broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's great. And then... the Doctor and Ace get taken to the waiting area.
Oh yeah.
And we meet a killjoy called Harold F.
Yeah.
And he's playing on a fruit machine, and the Doctor gives him advice of how to win. He goes, oh, I don't want to win because this is the prize. And it's Helen A goes, well done for winning.
I know. So basically she appears on fruit machines on the street.
She does a joke. And then the Doctor goes, that's a terrible joke. Mm. And then Harold goes, yeah, I used to be a gag writer, but I got sacked. And I thought, well, maybe he now has to, his punishment is to write the Have I Got News For You Twitter account. And he tells them that all prisoners are given over to the Candyman to be used for experiments. And then he says, there are 3 ways of disappearing on Terror Alpha. 1 is a late show at the forum. 2, a visit to the Cater Kitchen. And he goes, and 3, and he goes, something else, I don't know, might be a firing squad. thanks for the information.
That's handy.
Thanks for
great.
That.
Lovely.
Thanks for that. And the head guard of the Happiness Patrol, the head lady, she's the woman who in One Foot in the Grave has her wig burnt by Victor Meldrew.
Oh.
She also takes over as Teabag.
Yeah, she's
that's
Teabag.
It. Yes, that's
after
it.
After Elizabeth and Einenstein.
She's got a really unique. She's got a really unique vocal delivery style that is
I like
her.
It.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, Elizabeth Einens came to talk at my primary school.
Did she?
Oh. Yeah, so it's just a random thing that yeah, she she's
did you turn up in a pink PVC miniskirt with a big gun?
Thankfully, no. Yeah, that's very yeah. She's great. She's been in a few things. It's a bit. I'll tell you who she reminds me of. This will be this is might go nowhere. Is in Moulin Rouge. There's like a burlesque dancer who talks in a very particular way, and she's in a children's show called Radio Roo, which I remember from back in the day. And yeah, that is similar kind of.
She's
vibe.
Got this weird way of talking through her clenched teeth thing. It's amazing, and she and obviously that's how she sounds in everything because. Everything I've seen her in, she's got this weird delivery, but it's so unique.
Yes.
Could I say that she'd be a better baddie than Sheila Hancock?
Yes, I think you could. So. I think you could, yes. Yeah. Yes. The only baddie in this is the fact that Doctor Who is still on. Because I'm now literally with Michael Grade going, just bring me down to that floor. Let me tell them. Let me tell them. Yeah. I want to be the one to say, cut this shit out. This is not Doctor Who.
Well, it's amazing this is in between Remembrance of the Daleks and Silver Nemesis.
I know.
People aren't keen on Silver Nemesis. I like it. This is so strange that this one appears in the middle, though.
It's filler.
Yeah.
it really is.
And as we know, when we were deciding on what to do and we had a bit of a break, I still, even though John told me 100 times, still thought I was doing Paradise Towers or The Happiness Patrol or Paradise Towers. I didn't know which one was which. They both, in my head, seemed to be... Yeah, they both just seemed to be the same thing.
Yeah. I prefer Paradise. Paradise Towers.
I prefer Paradise Towers. Yeah.
Yeah, but let's just talk about Paradise Towers.
I'll insert a record scratch here. Yeah.
It's a bit like deciding which poison you'd rather take.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter at FriendsWF.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So Harold then goes on to explain... Harold goes on to explain that his brother is being held prisoner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we witness his execution, where he's killed by a big jam shower.
Strawberry fondant is what Helena has promised. So they get drowned in strawberry fondant. Which is just no lemons bloody gotcha gunge tank, isn't it?
And then as Gilbert explains, is his name Gilbert? I'll have to edit this out. Harold, as Harold is explaining that he's, his brother, we see his brother executed, and then he is electrocuted randomly and dies.
Mm. No reason at all, yeah.
And it's like, he got a buzz out of that. Oh, no.
And then, because they're in this weird waiting area where the woman from Dear John's there.
Yes.
And they're like, can we leave? And she's like, yeah, will you stop us if we leave? She's like, no. Okay. So then they find this really embarrassing go-kart. And he says, will you kill us if we take this? She goes, no. And he's like, oh, well, there's a bomb on it then. And he defuses the bomb.
Well, that, That is exactly what happens. It's like,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. He defuses the bomb and then they drive off, and it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever
seen.
Oh my
God, it takes forever, doesn't
it? It's going at about 3 miles an hour. My children were in the room when I was watching this, and they were both laughing their heads off. So this is the most embarrassing. They're children.
Yeah.
So this is aimed at. It's very, very. I mean, there's even a bit where Sylvester's leaning over with his arse in the air.
I was
again.
About to say.
I've got that written down. Yeah.
There is another obligatory McCoy ass shot. Where he's upside down in a go kart. It's like, yeah. What the hell is happening?
Showing everybody his jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Showing everyone his licorice pipe.
So Ace is then taken by the Happiness Patrol.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the Doctor and Ace then meet an unhappy guard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ace meets Susan Q.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Who? Yeah. She's basically, I'm fed up of being in the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they make me dress like an arsehole.
Yeah. I look like an ice cream. It's just ridiculous. Mm. I can't stand mm-hmm. it. This life.
And then the Doctor, meanwhile, when he's wandering around, he meets Earl Sigma.
Oh yeah.
Who's a wandering harmonica player who was on holiday but got stuck there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who? Why hasn't he been arrested immediately? Because he spends his entire time playing the blues on a harmonica.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every time they go past him, he plays a happy song, and they give him a sticker that says "smile."
God, this was written by a million dead monkeys, wasn't it? An infinite dead monkeys wrote this.
So he's a good character. Like as a character, I was like, oh, okay, good. So there's someone who, like, he's actually seems real. He's not like being a weird sort of cipher or caricature. I was quite impressed by.
I
his
don't
character.
Think it would have mattered if now suddenly fucking Sean Connery's in it. I still would be going, fuck off! All of this is so dull.
So then the Doctor gets taken to see the Candyman.
Oh, Christ.
Yes.
And him and Earl get put in Barbara's chairs.
Yeah.
And he said that then the Candyman arrives, and we're witness to this absolute monstrosity.
It's just...
That when people want to say Doctor Who's shit, they show this picture, and they've got a point.
Also, the Candyman lives with that other guy, like they're some old gay bickering couple.
His name's Harold Innocent.
Yeah, it's like a little. Yeah. It's like they've got their own sitcom on the side. Like, together we get along. It's just. And the Candyman is the most ineffectual, pointless villain ever. Who realizes throughout two episodes that the entire place where he lives and works is a death trap to him.
Yeah, he can't do anything, can he?
No, he's completely useless.
He's useless, and he's been living there for years with oodles of fucking time to do something about it, but has never got back to the fact that anywhere he walks, touches, everything can kill him.
Mm.
What I love is that with the Candyman, you find out nothing other than he's useless, and then after the Candyman's dead, we're given like 3 minutes of backstory about the Candyman.
Yeah,
I built him. As we look at this horrible discarded carcass that comes down a chute, covered in jam.
A remake of Edward Scissorhands with the Candyman. Just as he's about to be given a brain,
Vincent Price
dies. But he tells them that he makes sweets that are so good that people die.
Oh, yeah. It's so laboured. It's so fucking laboured.
And then the Doctor fools the Candyman into knocking over a bottle of lemonade.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Which then sticks him to the floor, and him and Earl can just walk away.
They just walk away
that
without any problem.
That is the laziest fucking writing in the whole Doctor Who world.
And he says it like he's so clever. Like he goes, that's a combination of, was it carbonated water and citric acid?
Yeah.
Lemonade to you.
The Candyman should be able to go, it's just a bit of lemonade, you prick. I'm fine. I'm also, made entirely of sweet stuff. It's fine.
Yeah.
You want a cupboard to open and that, I'm a secret lemonade. And then get shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what? You're absolutely right, because the character would be called R. White. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Oh.
Is that Julian Dutton? Is that
he did it. Yeah, he did it in the 80s, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So then him and Earl escape. Susan Q is taken to be executed.
Yeah.
And then you get this bit.
I wish I was Susan Q at this point.
You get this bit where these little gnomes keep poking their heads.
Who the fuck are they?
Yeah.
It is never explained. It is never explained.
Well, I had to look it up on Wikipedia, and it says they're called the Pipe People.
The Pipe People.
Oh my God, so they don't even have a name.
No.
They're pipe people. It says they're working to overthrow the tyranny of Halliday. How are they doing that?
How are they doing? All they do is run around and do fucking nothing. That's all they do.
Nothing.
Run around and do nothing. Are they the indigenous species that the planet's been built upon?
I think so.
Is that what this... But they never, ever even touch a fucking slim atom of a plot to do with them. And they look fucking stupid.
They do look stupid.
And then we keep cutting to this really bizarre bit where people are like demonstrating... How are they demonstrating? They should be killed, surely. I mean, we're trying to say that this is a world where happiness is the only thing that they should have. How are they allowing people to wander around the streets saying, I don't want to be happy?
Because once again, it's another one of those Doctor Who's where as soon as he appears, that entire civilization, despite doing the same thing for 4,000 years, suddenly decide on a Wednesday afternoon that they're going to completely go the opposite way. And you just have to take that as verbatim and just go...
This episode's the worst one because have you noticed how many times the Doctor's just like wandering around and bumps into someone important?
I know. It's just...
Because he bumps into Trevor Sigma again here.
There's a bit at the end where he says, well, it's been quite a night. And I was like, this has been one night. What's happened?
Oh, God. I can only deduce that a night time on this planet is like 9 fucking years.
So somehow Ace has gone down these tunnels with the pipe people.
The massive tunnels that anyone walk down without even crouching.
Massive
so
tunnels.
Helena thinks it's a good idea to send... Oh, but we haven't mentioned that she's got a pet called Fifi.
Oh, Christ.
The best thing about this episode, though, I would say, the design of that puppet...
Yes, you're absolutely right. The design is great.
Yes, but that's it.
It looks like shit, though.
There's a bit where Ace is running through the tunnel with the goblin pipe people, whatever they're fucking and one of them slips up like he's tripped on a gobstopper and he's landed on his chocolate mouse or something. It's just, what is going on?
Do you remember the gristles from Dizzy Heights Hotel? Or is that... Yes,
no,
looks like one of the gristles.
Or, what was that one Neil Innes did? Puddle Lane.
Maybe.
So that she sends Fifi
into the pipes.
Into the pipes. And Ace blows it up.
Yeah, that's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big explosion. You think that's the end of the dog, but it comes back later on with a comedy sling on its jaw.
Yeah.
Christ.
And of course, the make of the dog is a Stigorax, because I listened to that. I thought, Stigorax.
Yeah.
Is that like Sycorax, like in the New Who? Nope, nothing to do with it. Every time I thought something interesting was about to happen, it didn't.
No.
So
Trevor Sigma and the Doctor storm into Helen's office.
Yeah.
Ronald Fraser's like, oh, hello, you're going in there, are you all right then?
Yeah, just zero, like, sorry, who are you? Why are you here? You just don't help yourself to anything you want. Please get me out of this episode, please.
So they walk, Doctor goes in her office, and we find out that she's got rid of overcrowding and reduced the population by 17%.
Right. But I don't know she how. Wants them all to be happy, so surely the more people you have happy, the better. I just don't get any of this at all.
The best bit is while she's out of the room, the Doctor picks up her big book of pictures.
Hello.
Leftover from that lodger that she had.
They're like portrait pictures that weird people get, you know, when they've had kids and they're going to take portraits.
Oh, yes.
It's her and her dog.
Yeah. That's
over
fun.
And over again.
Oh, God.
I've just realised we did Terror of the Vervoids and we never mentioned the scrapbook once, did we? That's
no.
Well done us.
Anthony Ainley's favourite episode.
Yeah.
So then Fifi goes back down.
Sent back down, yeah.
Yeah.
And chases Ace and the pipe man.
The pipe
man.
People.
Yeah. And meanwhile, there's some snipers going to shoot the crowd.
This scene is so pleased with itself, isn't
it? Oh my God, I just put here gun chat stuff.
It's
so happy with itself.
Two guys on the Western Front, isn't it? It's like,
you're going to kill me with that gun. Now. You think you can pull the trigger, do you? That easy, is it? To end a life?
And they're all,
I don't want to use this gun anymore.
And their guns look like fucking like massive like comedy clown dildos, and they're all in pain. Can't take any of it remotely threatening or seriously. It's just, oh, shut up, all of you. This is like play school got a certificate 18 and just carried on.
Yeah.
It's just, everyone shut up in this. There's a bit where the Doctor re-confronts the Candyman and uses the same fucking lemonade to unstick him. Like, lemonade is like glue and anti-glue at the same point. Just yes. make up your fucking mind about something.
So Susan Q's punishment is that she'll have to appear in May to December.
Yeah.
She's about to be executed. So the doctor goes to the Candyman, and as Paul says, he says, I'll unstick you. By the way, you've been stuck here for ages. That's how fucking useless you are. I'll unstick you if you divert the flow. Because he mentions earlier that you can easily divert. Because the doctor says to him, is that how you execute people? And the Candyman's like, yeah. And he goes, well, how do you stop from executing them? And he goes, oh, I can just divert the flow.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's clever writing, isn't it? That's not going to come back later. Yeah. So if you divert the flow, I'll let you go. And he does. And then the Candyman's like, ah, you trusted me. And he's like, yeah. And then he puts the lemonade back on the floor and sticks it again.
Just fucking ridiculous. This is the equivalent of like playground tricks, isn't it? Where you, where someone crouches behind someone, you push them over, and you're like, "You bastard!" And then you're not going to do it again, are you? No, promise. And then immediately do it again. Jesus Christ!
It's the Doctor Who equivalent of that game my brother used to play with me. It was like, you know, let's see you can kick each other hardest in the bollocks. I'll go first.
Yeah.
And then afterwards he'll go, oh yeah, you win.
You win.
And then walk off. Yeah.
Let's carry on celebrating this game in A&E where we find ourselves. It's just so there are bits in this. It's like someone you've touched on it, John. The script. It'll be things like it's the equivalent of someone going, "Is that a dog?" And someone going, "Yeah." And you're like, anything else to add? No, that's that scene done.
No.
Oh my God, it's just random words. You just literally...
The thing that confused me here, unless I was missing something, the execution doesn't work.
No.
For Susan Q. And then Ace is there.
Yes.
But she was just in the pipes escaping from Fifi a moment ago.
Yeah, I don't know how did she get there.
And did she just leave one of the little bollock pipe people? You just stay there? I don't... What is...
No idea. So Susan Q will now have to go with Ace for the late show at the Forum auditions.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
And then this is the bit that made me laugh the most. The Doctor then sees her poster being put up.
Yeah.
He knocks on a door, and the man that opens it is the most miserable, moody man.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be in the Happiness Patrol because he's got the costume.
Yeah, he's member of
that
patrol, isn't
he? There was so much potential, wasn't there, for like everyone's just got this, like, because originally the title of this was called something like Broken Smile. And it's like everyone could have just been this like manic kind of, isn't everything fine? Everyone's miserable and everyone hates being in the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that comes from.
Sorry, what was the working title called again?
Broken Smile.
Right. Broken Smile.
I had Shattered Turd, but, you know, that's fine.
But shouldn't everyone in the Happiness Patrol be like kind of like Redcoats and Heidi High? I mean, Butlins, you know, like really happy all the time. But none of them are.
I mean, we're watching WandaVision at the minute, and I know that the budget obviously is incomparable, but like the WandaVision does a better job of everyone sort of being happy, yet secretly there's something beneath the surface which is scary. And you're like, that's how you do it. This is not just showing everyone being miserable.
if they just introduced just a little bit more of the idea, I understand, right, everyone is forced to be happy, and then you've got the idea of the people who behind the smile, they're struggling. But they should have just added something. It's basically someone going, I want you to all to be like this, and most people are going, all right, but secretly they're not. And that's it. There's nothing else. It should be like every night at Helen A. whatever makes a hypnotic broadcast that puts people back under the state or something.
There's
a robot behind it, or there's a malevolence behind it, or something.
Drug.
Yeah, or maybe it feeds off people's happiness and anything.
Or the sweets. The sweets make people happy.
Yeah.
That's so simple.
Exactly.
It's right there.
So suddenly Soylent Green is people or something. Anything. But there's nothing at all. It's just redundant.
Why have the Candyman in this if he serves no function?
He can't do it. All he does is he basically operates a lever and drains people in strawberry fondant. That's all he does.
Because the other guy's the one who brings in all the bags of sugar and does all the mixing.
The other guy's the man who fucking made him, and yet he's slave labour.
Yeah.
You got that fucking wrong when you programmed him, mate. And also it says more about that man than anyone, that he made a man out of Bertie Bassett fucking sweets.
A little side note I've got here on Wikipedia: Bassett's complained over the similarity between the Candyman and the story in the trademark character.
I don't fucking blame them. Kids must have been like, I'm not fucking eating one of them ever again in my life.
I mean, you could have had the Candyman as this symbol and the other guy being like kind of Wizard of Oz behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly.
Operating everything. There's so many possibilities you could do with the story, and they do nothing.
They do nothing with anything.
I mean, the cast are good. Like, I think everyone in this has been good in other stuff.
Yeah,
so it's not like they didn't have a good cast to work with.
I think this is that's the most taxing, annoying thing about the episode is everyone's doing their fucking darndest to do it for you.
Yeah, like,
this is what I've been given, folks, I have to say. And they're doing their best that they can do. But there is nothing to work on. There's no frame for anything. And the Candyman, like you said, John, could have been so much better. He could have been like a Wizard of Oz illusion-y thing, and yet in reality he's a bit like how the Master was when he was just a crumbling corpse or something. We've already come up with 7 ideas that would have made this story infinitely better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
I'm just hoping we never get to run this show. This is how Chibnall started. Yeah. So he sees the posters being put up, and the one next to Ace, they're painting in pink, writing RIP on it.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I better go and save Ace. And then he starts singing As Time Goes By.
Yeah,
for some reason, it now becomes Stars in Their Eyes. I don't know what's going on, why he decides to do that. It's kind of sweet and funny, but...
Mm.
I'd love to know as well what Daphne S, what her act was. Because she doesn't look like the most sort of entertaining of ladies just from the image we see. And you're like, oh, I wonder what she was meant to be doing.
Daphne and Celeste.
Ping pong ball act.
Daphne and Celeste with their ping pong act. Oh, God.
And I've just written this note here. I'm sorry, it's out of context. But I just put, I would stick that harmonica up Earl's ass. I am sick of it.
Yeah.
This is when Helen puts Fifi back in the tunnel.
Again.
Right,
the Doctor frees Ace and Susan Q by making everybody happy.
Yay, they're all smiling, aren't they? And he's being hilarious.
God.
And everybody turns on the leader of the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah,
and says, you're looking a bit glum now because you're not in control. Maybe you're not happy and you're just at this point tearing out any available fucking digit that you still have on your fingers that you haven't already punched a television with, going, this is so fucking laboured!
Oh, my God. It's the sick form drama, isn't it? It's all that, like, oh, hang on, you're not happy now, are you?
Oh, my God, are you telling us that we were the tomorrow people all the time? Yeah! Everyone gets out a mandolin for the end. Bang, bang, ding, ding, ding. Drama teacher considering another career. Yeah, it is, yeah. God, it's...
Awful.
So the Doctor and Ace go back down the tunnel.
Yeah.
I know, and we established earlier that he can't play a certain note down there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because the sugar will collapse.
There will be a sugar toffee collapse, like in a mine shaft, and you're just, at this point, laughing at it. Like, I want it to collapse.
It's the pipe equivalent of the brown note.
Exactly.
It is so stupid. The idea that we'd shush, else loads of fucking toffee apples will fall on us. You're just going, I don't care. I don't care anymore.
I kept thinking at this point, have you all seen the Yellow Submarine cartoon?
Yes.
How the blue meanies and all their people on the face of it are very silly looking.
Yes.
But they're actually quite terrifying.
That's
what they should have had in this as the Happiness Patrol. People who look ridiculous but are terrifying.
But someone genuinely thought that the Candyman was going to be it. They thought, this is going to scare people. And it just doesn't work at all. It's just, you're laughing and you're bored by it as well. You're like, what a boring, laughable prick you are. And that's
also,
not
it's got
what you need.
That weird mouth brace that they had to put on it because the mask wasn't working. And you're just like, why? Okay, I get it, it's the Candyman. Why has he got that weird silver moustache?
Oh,
and
God, then, that's awful.
And the eyes... And the eyes
like Mr. Sheen.
I know, and the eyes are spinning and it's just too silly. You're like...
If you gave
it maybe human eyes, it would look really disturbing. Because when you see its blue mouth talking, you're like, ugh. If you saw its eyes or something, that might make it a bit more like, oh, it's like body morph horror, horrible. But it's not. They just go so overboard with it. It just looks like some shit that you'd find at a country fair that they've someone's mangled together with a plow and some pumpkins and went, look, it's the ghost of Halloween. And I was like, oh, you stupid prick.
It's the weird bloke in your office, and when it's Halloween, he turns up in that.
Oh, my God. You're absolutely right, John. Do you know what it is? It's Colin Hunt from The Fast Show, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
It's the man in the comedy tie. It's him. Oh. And you're like, oh, you tedious prick.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So Fifi's crushed because he plays that note and all the crystals of sugar fall down on
Christ.
Him. And then the pipe people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They destroy the Candyman and a flow of his own fondant surprise.
Oh, God.
Please refer to them as the bollock people. Or the bollock goblins.
Mm. Yeah. They are little albino Yodas, aren't they?
So Helen attempts to escape. Her number one comes in and she's like, what are you doing? And she's like,
nothing.
I'm just packing a suitcase.
Packing feather boas and pretty things. It's so like...
And then we realise that she's going to escape in a rocket.
But this is hilarious!
But Joseph C. and Gilbert, who's the assistant to Candyman, have stolen it.
They've just gone.
It's clear that there's some sort of relationship going on.
My
there.
God, it's definitely something, isn't it? We're off to a chalet in Norfolk Cromer. It's her husband that's just gone, I'm off. And he just leaves her.
Literally, you need to sort of know the backstory, or like know that it's based on the Thatchers to even like understand what's going on.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So she tries to escape, but the doctor stops her and he teaches her about the true nature of happiness, which can only be understood if counterbalanced by sadness, which is the plot of Inside Out.
It is. I'd argue they do it better. But
in Inside Out,
that is a controversial thing.
There's a tiny bit which is sort of kind of lovely and pathetic and horrible where Helen is just left stroking that poor dog as it dies on a British Rail bench. And it's something quite like, there's something so bleak about it all.
Well, she says she's going to go to another planet and do it all over again, but then she finds dead Fifi.
And
starts crying.
So the doctor turns up, kills the leader's dog, and then goes, he's sad now, right? And then leaves. And you're like, oh, that was horrible.
So with Helen's reign over, we don't know what happens to her, by the way. We just leave her crying.
She has no real comeuppance at all, does she?
No. Nope.
And, you want the pipe people to just like put her on a lollipop stick and eat her.
Shove a massive stick up her ass and she's candy floss for the rest of her life. Just something, an uprising. Why have these bollocky tunnel pricks? They do nothing at all. Nothing at all. They service nothing in the plot. And then somehow Ace repaints the TARDIS in 6 milliseconds.
With
the exact colour of the TARDIS, which is very fucking handy.
They just happen to have around.
Yeah.
And they say their goodbyes to Earl and Susan Q because they're now establishing a new society. And then they get that really disturbing bit where he's like, Susan's really good at shooting.
Yeah.
And she blows out all these, because all the way through there's this Muzak being piped in.
Yeah.
And she shoots all the speakers. One of them is like next to Sylvester McCoy's head. So he's like, fucking hell, we better go, Ace.
Doesn't that then mean, because this society is so fucking stupid and are led by the nose by anyone, that the society that is now created is run by a depressed man playing the harmonica, playing the blues, and weaponry. So that's what that society then becomes. People wandering around, the gun patrol. Where's your gun and why aren't you miserable?
Put that harmonica in your mouth and shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Keep shooting that wall. It's like,
and then the most embarrassing bit in the entire story.
Oh my God, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Doctor has that handshake with Earl.
Oh no!
That is that is like watching Poison.
Yeah. I was actually like, well done, Doctor Who. Eventually, this is an area I thought could be quite icky.
Yes,
and you've done it really well. Like obviously, you know, you're playing into stereotypes with like the man playing the blues is black and everything else. But actually, sort of, I like the character and that's quite fun. And then at the end, they do that farewell thing. I was like, no, all ruined. Yeah, you ruined it all.
All ruined.
Yep. Absolutely ruined.
It's at the end of Superman 3 where he gets Richard Pryor out of the rubble.
Yeah.
And instead of shaking his hand, they do like a handshake thing. It's the exact same thing and it's so cringy.
Listen, if Errol's character was a Chinaman, it would have been Sylvester McCoy at the end literally going, oh, and doing a bow. And you'd be like with Fu Manchu moustache or something. You'd be like, two strawberry shoelaces shoved up his nose. Oh, most honourable to meet you. Oh, my God.
It's so bad. The bit as well when he's like, I like you, Doctor, you're a little weird. And then the doctor's like, hey, enough of the little. I was like, oh, fuck off. God. Oh, no.
Suddenly gets his dick out.
Suck on this popsicle. Doctor, stop.
Yeah, please.
Do you like sweets, do you? Yeah, I like sweets. Suck my dick as a snicker rock. If you, if you break open that stick of rock, it just says sorry all the way through it.
It's just a question mark. You know, it's just a question mark.
Oh, but that is awful. I was just, I remember thinking like, oh no, they've spoiled it there. And it's really long as well. It's a really long like hand thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I mean, it's a really long three episodes.
Oh, is that as well? Oh my God. When I realised the uprising was happening in the third episode and that there wasn't going to be a fourth, I was over the moon.
Yeah. It's dreadful and I'm so sorry I chose it.
I'm really glad you did. I'm really glad you chose it. Cause
we've done it now.
It's done now. We can cleanse ourselves now of this. I know loads of people always say, you know, the McCoy era was so experimental. They were going to places and and I'm like, yeah, but most of it was just shit.
I just say that this one is like, I don't know. I thought there was so much that could be so good. Like the cast are good.
Yeah.
There are good ideas at the core of it, but just like somewhere people just sort of gave up. And because it's in between Remembrance of the Daleks, which you know, I think I enjoyed more than you two, but like still I think is good. And Silver Nemesis, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why, what's this doing?
How did this get put on telly?
It's because it's one note. It's one slim idea that's like half 1984, half Brave New World.
It's
one note. It's one note. People are always happy. Why? Because they are. Are you going to ever reveal why? No. Anything ever going to happen? No. Okay, and that's it. And then they just hammer it home again and again and again. No one is an effective baddie or an effective guard or an effective threat.
Well, they had that nice idea with Silas being this undercover guy, but he gets killed because he just isn't happy for a second.
Yeah. It's just...
Also, they've clearly gone, we want to be noir-y, but whoever's doing the lighting thinks that noir-y just means dark, which it doesn't. Like, it needs to be smarter with the way it's lit, because most of the time, you cannot see who is speaking, and you get, like, it's all in this weird darkness, and it's just, it looks ugly and drab as well.
I know.
Well, someone told, Stephen Graham, friend of the show, told me that Sylvester wanted this episode to be the story to all black and white.
See, that would have been fun.
That would have been a bit more fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe even like we just like they could tease out the pinks or something. So it's like black and white.
Or they could even they can even do that trad thing where colour gradually gets introduced and that's how it ends.
That's a great idea.
You know, something like that. Yeah. I know it's been done and
put
done
it in
and
the
done,
list.
But just something.
Because you can't even blame the budget on this. A lot of people say, oh, you know, McCoy's era was hamstrung by budgets. It's like, there's a budget on this because that fucking monstrosity wasn't cheap to build.
No.
The sets and everything.
That street work and set work. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it's just, the story's awful.
The story's not awful. There just isn't a story. That's the problem. There's no story. It's just a one-note idea that is never explored, tampered with,
there's the Happiness Patrol anyway.
That was the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah.
Okay, and then they leave and they go, will they be okay, Doctor? And then the Doctor says, happiness will prevail.
Yeah, it won't.
He goes, couldn't give a shit.
What it should say is, let's come back in 700 years.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a statue of me sitting on my knob again. Detecting a theme.
Yeah. It's like the face of evil. That is
huge statue of the Doctor with his arse in the air with a strawberry Mivy sticking out of it. Oh, they haven't learnt.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. So what did you refer to these people as, Paul? The rat?
The bollock goblins.
We're going to give this how many out of bollock goblins out of 100?
Right, yes.
I'll go first.
Yeah, you must.
Go for it.
One. It has absolutely no redeeming qualities whatsoever. The writing's terrible. Some of the performances are fine, but it was dreadful from start to finish. So I'm giving it one.
One, okay. Oh my God, Paul.
I'm not going to be as cruel as John. Two. Okay. No, I'll give it five.
I'll give it five.
It doesn't deserve that five. The reason why I went from a two to a five involves some sort of reason or plot. But as Happiness Patrol didn't have that, I'm not going to tell you why I've gone to a five. It's just a fucking five, and it's lucky to get that.
Yeah.
Right. I think I'm going to be more generous.
Three?
I think the thing is, I watched this last night, and it was watchable. And I passed in three episodes, and I don't know. But like, so I'm going to give it 10.
if that's 16. You being generous, Tom, that's lovely.
Well, like, okay, I just think, yeah, it is on the lower end of those. 16? It's not strong.
16.
So that's 16 bollock goblins.
That must be our lowest. That has to be our lowest.
I think so.
It has to be. If it isn't, I will change my score until it gets there. 4, 3, 2.
Was there any correspondence about this?
Yes, there's lots.
Oh God.
Here we go. So, Happiness Patrol from Ben Thomas. I think it's quite sweet that Gilbert M and Joseph C elope at the end, but I hate to think what their children are going to look like. Misunderstanding biology.
Yeah.
Greg Newport says, Happiness Patrol, McCoy's gurning when the Candyman is about to execute him is off the chart.
Yep.
He saves himself with look at me in the eye, pull the trigger, end my life speech, in my opinion. I don't think so.
I think that is that we agreed that was a bit sick for me and a bit kind of like, oh yeah, you and your guns,
Becky says, the Happiness Patrol, the Doctor turns up on a random planet and brings down a corrupt, inept government. Somebody set the TARDIS controls for Downing Street.
Whoa!
Yeah!
Oh!
And Happiness Patrol from Martin. He says, Happiness Patrol seems perfectly normal, and he's included a bit of some text from Wikipedia, I think. The first to be disposed of is Helena's pet Stigorax. Fifi, a rat dog creature, used to hunt down the pipe people. As it is crushed and the pipes blow the city when Earl causes an avalanche of crystallized sugar with his harmonica, then the pipe people destroy the Candyman in a flow of his own fondant surprise, previously used to execute dissidents.
Right.
That's just what happens.
Yeah.
Richard's World of Horror, he says, oh God, is Happiness Patrol the one with all those bloody awful drama kids pretending to be street gangs? No.
No, that's Paradise Towers.
Hang on. Art Boy says, interesting fact in Happiness Patrol, the aliens' costumes display maps of Paris.
Yeah, okay.
Huh? What aliens?
I don't know. I'll trust him on that one.
It must be the Bollock Goblins.
The Bollock Goblins.
Okay. And that's it for the correspondence on Happiness Patrol. Some facts and something we're not sure if it actually is true.
I was worried because obviously this is like, it's so bad there's almost nothing to grab onto.
No.
But I think we've still had a good time discussing it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, God.
Yeah. But I don't think I'll be going near McCoy again for a while.
Okay.
I don't know, part of me now just immediately wants to leap into Paradise Towers.
We could do that. And I rewatched Gels from the Bannermen recently, and that, although that's going to be coming out on Blu-ray soon, so maybe we should hold that one until we can watch it in glorious HD.
I seem to remember you sounded quite upset when you said I've just watched it.
Yeah, there was just a bit where like almost half the main characters just get murdered in one go. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's quite weird.
I remember The Greatest Show in the Galaxy being good.
Okay.
I haven't watched that for a while.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, we can always certainly see you getting a little glimpse behind the scenes, listeners.
It's got Adrian Mole in it, so that must be good, right?
Yeah, must be good.
Anyway, there we go. There's Happiness Patrol. Keep following us at Wheezing Pod.
Please do.
Yeah, we're all off to have some strawberry fondant.
Happy you're glad. I'm glad you're happy. Happiness will prevail.
Yeah, and keep the correspondence and drawings and pictures, whatever, coming in. They're brilliant.
Yay!
Yeah.
And next time we do, you'll be seeing on our Twitter timeline, the next time we do some recordings, I will post and you can contribute your thoughts.
Lovely stuff.
Observations about facts that happen in it.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, we'll see you next time.
See you then.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. To me, this world is a wonderful place. I'm the luckiest human in the human race. I've got no silver and I've got no gold, but I've got happiness in my soul. Happiness to me is an ocean tide, a sunset fading on a mountainside, a big old heaven full of stars above, when I'm in the arms of the one I love. Oh, happiness, happiness, the greatest gift
that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness. Happiness is a field of grain, turning its face to the falling rain. I see it in the sunshine, breathe it in the air. Happiness, happiness everywhere. A wise old man told me one.
Hi, I'm Keza McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's Body Care Breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.